Final hour, next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here with you. If you're looking for Jake Lyman, he is over on 94.9 The Fan calling Vanderbilt women's basketball as they take on Alabama State for an early morning bout. I believe it's the education game. So that means all the students from across Middle Tennessee area are being bussed in as I guess their field trip to watch the Lady Doors do battle.
6-7.
Yeah, hopefully they don't score 67 points. Or even if it early in the game, it's like 6-7.
Did you hear about the NBA news?
I don't keep up with
the Philadelphia 76ers are going to rebrand.
Ah,
really?
To the 67ers.
Oh, good one.
Oh, man. 6-7.
Yeah, great one.
Good knee slapper there, Parker.
Great knee slapper. Fun conversation over the last hour and a half of college football.
Yeah.
We'll take a little break from that. Let's talk a little bit of Preds hockey.
Sure.
Right now. Obviously, the big story of the week is Andrew Burnett has retained his job for the time being. The Sweden trip, I guess, coming away with a win did something for him. Mm-hmm. Trotz is clearly showing patience with Andrew Burnett. And that's because I think David Poile showed a lot of patience with Barry Trotz as a coach. So Barry Trotz is trying to reciprocate that by showing patience to Andrew Burnett, who was one of his players on that team. My concern here is the patience Barry Trotz is showing Bruno right now, is that going to come back to bite him as we await? And I listened to you guys talk to Greg Wyshynski yesterday, and he raised an interesting point about why Andrew Burnett is here. And it makes sense to me. They don't want to pay someone else to come in here for a non-Stanley Cup contending team. And that makes sense. But I worry that by keeping Andrew Burnett around, and obviously his system is not gelling well with the current pieces he has in place, I worry that by keeping him around, we're digging a bigger hole. We're digging a deeper hole so that when Brunette is relieved of duties, the next guy that comes in here has more of a challenge.
I'm torn. Again, back to the first hour of the show, I was torn with the old Titans topic. I'm torn with this Preds topic, too, because listening to Robbie and Joe talk about it this morning and listening to the clips that Barry Trotz said yesterday on DVD, I'm with Robbie on this. I did not like the message that Trotz was giving, saying the coaches are really working their tails off and,
obviously not enough.
Right. I get the outcomes are not what they want it to be, and I get that you look at Trotz's perspective of trying to not please everybody, but definitely try and keep the message bright for the Preds. And when you try to keep the message bright with the coaches, it kind of reflects on the players a little bit. The players know what's going on. Everybody knows what's going
on. Yeah.
It's the fact of the matter is maybe Trotz is being a little bit too lenient with Brunette, and that's what I'm a little worried about. And you're also concerned about that as well because you brought it up just a second ago. But I did not like the messaging when it came to the coaches are busting their tails. I'm sure they are, but yeah. They're not busting their tails enough to get the wins.
I agree with Greg. He raised the point yesterday. The only way I could see them just completely biting the head and cutting Andrew Brunette is if they really believe in Carl Taylor down in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And I think that would make sense. But the Predators are not a Peter DeBoer away from being a Stanley Cup contending team. They're not, I'll throw Laviolette out there just for the sake of conversation. They're not a top tier coach in the NHL away from being a competitive team. I realize that that has happened multiple times. The most recent example is the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah.
Fired their coach, hire the guy from the Bruins, and they made the playoffs last year. I realize that that is a trend that happens. The Predators are not in that boat right now.
No.
The talent on paper is there. They're not meshing well. And I think they've kind of established themselves as a team that's just kind of there. They're not a Stanley Cup contender.
Another thing out of that Trotz interview from yesterday that kind of struck me a little bit, and you mentioned Carl Taylor's name just now, Trotz still said we're still going to put the young guys into the lineup, meaning if they're going to still do the same thing with Brunette, it makes you wonder, is Carl Taylor on the come up for something like this?
Yeah.
That's my thing. Obviously, you got Luke Richardson there.
That's another factor.
One of those factors.
He's got head coaching experience.
Right. So that's something to look at, but you made a great point when you mentioned Carl Taylor, because he fits the mold and DNA of what the Preds are trying to do. And we've all heard about what great draft picks they're cataloging right now. And, you know, Brady Martin going back to his little home club there in, up there in Canada. So you have the young core. You're just trying to capitalize on the vets right now. And right now you can't really tell what you have, because now you have Yossi and Haig back at the same time. That's where you're going to get your true gauge.
Yeah.
And again, having the week off, I think, is good for the Preds when you come back from Sweden. Luckily, the NHL is generous about that. But when you now are starting to hit the big stretches of games where they have, I think it's like Florida.
Colorado comes to town Saturday.
Yes. Yeah,
Colorado's the best team in the league right now.
Yeah, so they have a lot of difficult games coming up on their schedule. And if you can capitalize and get at least a couple points out of those games with Roman Yossi and Nick Haig,
yeah,
that is kind of what you need.
You
need results.
This is where veteran leadership plays a factor, right?
Yeah.
You want to see your big-time guys step up and win you some games. And that's where Forsberg comes into play. That's where Stamkos comes into play. That's where, you know, Marchessault, Shea, all of these guys that you're paying the big bucks to that haven't performed up to this point, this is where it's their time to shine. And I am hesitant to believe that they're capable of doing so.
And again, something about how you have the young players mixed with the vet players, you're trying to get that right chemistry between the both of them. To me, sometimes I think where the vets mentally are up par above the youngsters supplement where they're not on the ice. To me, that's where I think the difference is.
Mm-hmm.
The youngsters can kind of take the place of where the vets want to be on the ice, that they're just not, because the speed's not there anymore. That's kind of where I'm at on that. And when you look at it, you try to figure out, well, if you're not there, then how do you supplement that if you're a vet?
Right.
And it has to be solely placement on the ice. And if you can't be truly the placement on the ice, then how the heck are you going to score goals?
Right. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to chime in on the conversation. So we've kind of established that right now the Preds are not a Stanley Cup contending team. I think that's fair to say,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So how far away are the Predators from actually competing with the pieces that they have? What additions need to be made? What changes in the current lineups need to be made? Maybe not to be a Stanley Cup competing team, but to be a little bit more competitive within the division. We'll discuss that coming up next. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here with you on Next Man Up on 102.5 The Game. There you go. That was Barry Trotz yesterday on DVD with Adam Vingan, Willie Donick, and Derek Mason talking about the mindset for the rest of the season. What does he need to do to get those guys back on board? And look, they've been in that situation last year. How can they dig out of the hole? And obviously they didn't dig out of it last year. So how do they do it this year? Next Man Up, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. I apologize, Busy Bee, for completely butchering your live read.
Connor, why still can't you though speak?
I don't know.
Do you need some like hot tea or something? Some water?
No, today's been a rough day for the Connor Newt doesn't stutter on air narrative.
It's okay.
Today's been not my day. I got a pair of tickets to give away to go see the Nashville Predators take on the Florida Panthers at Bridgestone Arena next Monday. That is the 24th. Caller number 4 will win the pair of tickets to see the Predators take on the Florida Panthers next Monday at Bridgestone Arena. So let's get back into the Predators. Trotz obviously seems confident in this roster. Maybe unrightfully so. I don't think they've proven that they've turned the corner. I don't think they've proven that they're that much better of a team than they were last year. So why is he so attached to that roster? And how far away are the Predators from actually being competitive within the National Hockey League? Maybe not Stanley Cup competitive, but a good team that's able to compete with other teams across the league.
I've been very patient with my words when it comes to seeing progress with this Preds team. When will they be contenders? Like on paper, when they signed all these guys, immediately thought they were Stanley Cup. Everybody did, right? Now looking at it now, I just have to see it after this week.
Yeah.
After next week, that's when I know if this team's a contender or not this season, just to make the playoffs or just to make a run at it. Because when you have everybody hurt and you don't have all your pieces at the same time, that's what really hurts you. And I think I was looking at some stats online, or I heard Robbie or Joe, somebody say it, that UC Saros' save percentage is under 900.
Yeah, that's not
great.
Good.
Not great. And you go out there and look at San Jose, and Yaroslav Askarov is around like 904, 902, something like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not too far off, but still, it's just something to keep your eyes on. But overall, with this Preds team, though, I just got to see it next week.
Right. Look, I don't think it's all hinging on the play of UC Saros right now.
Right.
I likened it to a pitcher. A pitcher could be firing all the strikes inside, and the batter could be making contact. It's about the defense behind him. Is the infield doing their job and fielding the ground balls? I don't think the defense for the Predators has been doing the best job at stopping the puck from entering the defensive zone. But if you're UC Saros, you've got to make some of these OMG plays, right? You've got to make some of these saves that we know you're capable of making. And to this point in the season, he hasn't done that very much. So I don't think it's all on the goaltending. I think a lot of it falls on the defense. But you're right. UC Saros, with a save percentage like that, some of it does fall on him.
It's a little concerning.
Right.
I mean, because you obviously signed that long deal with him, last year, the year before, and you hope. He's got to make sure, and you hope that that is not the case going forward in a roundabout way. Another thing, when you look at all the score lines for the Preds, I mean, they've only scored over three goals in like a handful of games. That's another concerning factor, is that you don't have the offensive firepower to get at least three goals.
Yeah.
And when they do, it seems to be the team's always outscoring them on the other end of it. So that's the other unfortunate thing. I don't know. Like I said, I just have to wait till next week to finally get a good gauge in this team. Look, if they get one or two wins, they're kind of back in the thick of it in a roundabout way, because under Dallas, everybody, it's Winnipeg, Chicago, Minnesota, Utah, St. Louis, 24 points between Winnipeg and Minnesota, then Utah's at 23, St. Louis is at 18, and then Nashville's down there at 16. So if Nashville can just string together two or three wins in a row, a couple other results don't go other teams' ways, they're in the thick of it.
Right.
I mean, that's the thing, is that you listen to Trotz yesterday, and obviously that clip beforehand, not coming back from break, but beforehand, saying that these coaches are busting their tail. They're doing everything they can. And I believe that to a certain degree, but at the same time, I don't. It just,
right.
You're just trying to please everybody as a GM, and you kind of can't do that. I mean, you got to be able to kind of comb through, you know, the bad things and kind of outweigh the good.
I think my biggest confusion with this team lies with, okay, if you're committed to the coach and you're committed to your veteran pieces, why are you not at least exercising a little bit of your youth movement, right? Like, I understand you have Fedor Svechkov and Luke Evangelista and Joakim Kimmel and Zach LaRue that are making their way in and out of the roster, but this team, obviously they're old and you're not going to be able to move some of these veteran guys, but I don't understand why Barry Trotz harps on, oh, we have so much youth. Oh, we have a lot of youth for our future, and then doesn't use it, right? I understand the overcooking aspect in Milwaukee, but you don't want to leave guys there too long, because then that's their ceiling.
Right.
But that's my concern with Kimmel and LaRue, and not Evangelista, but guys that spend a lot of time in Milwaukee and come up for a cup of coffee and go back down. That's my concern there.
Look, you asked a question earlier, what do the Preds need to do to be contenders for at least the playoffs or Stanley Cup? For me right now, you look at former players and like a Kevin Fiala, or a prime example, Kiefer Sherwood.
There you go.
That line a couple years ago, Sherwood to me is one of those grit and grind guys that gets the job done, that's nitty gritty around the boards. That can, I think he had, what, three goals? He had a hat trick not too long ago. I have him in fantasy hockey, so he had a really good night the other day. I just got to figure out which day it was, but he's one of those guys that the Preds kind of need something like that.
Right.
And they don't have that on the roster right now.
Right.
They got to figure out who that is and or bring them in.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was going. Is there someone that you think they need to bring in? Do you think they need to bring in maybe a forward? Because obviously the forwards you have now aren't delivering. No offense to Forsberg or Stamkos or any of the guys there, but you need someone that can score goals. And offense has been the concern here this season for the Predators. They're scoring a high of two goals a game, it feels like. So is there someone that you think they should bring in? And maybe not a specific name, but maybe more the idea. Do you think they should bring in a forward?
I just think they need guys that can kind of fit into the lines, that can kind of give them a little extra oomph when it comes to skating. Because right now this team, I don't think, has the stamina can go a full three periods. That's my – excuse me. Just
there you go, JoJo.
Yep. I just – that's my biggest synopsis of this team. I don't think they can go a full three periods.
Yeah.
Seriously. That's why they're getting outscored by so many goals. Like, that they're only scoring two goals a game just about. That's what it feels like. They don't have the stamina.
I mean, if they win a game, it feels like it's 2-1, right?
Yeah, and it I don't want to say it sounds like a miracle, but like it sounds like one of those things where, oh my God, the Preds won. Can they capitalize off of it now? That it's the anticipation of, oh, can they? Yeah, they can. Like, it's the hesitation factor. That's kind of right. How I feel about the team.
615-737-1025. Let's get to some of your texts quickly. Devin and Dixon on our text line says, if Brunette's not going anywhere and it looks like he's not, then Trotsy has to get some players on the ice that fit Bruno's system. I don't know if that comes from Milwaukee or through trades, but that's got to change. Notice I didn't mention the draft. That is a long-term angle to the fix, not a fast one. 100% agree. The draft is a we're building for the future thing, right? Look at who they drafted this season. Brady Martin. They played him for about 4 games, right? Felt like, anyway. Send him down immediately to juniors. Obviously, that means he's not going to be around this year for the time being. That is a future move. That's not the kind of guy that you bring in to immediately make an impact and change your lineup the way it should. Trotz harps on stuff like that, though. Oh, we're going to bring this guy from Milwaukee. He's going to shake things up. And then he doesn't. Oh, we're going to bring in this guy I used to coach back at Washington or New York to shake things up, and he doesn't.
And also, too, you got to remember,
that's the disappointing part.
You got also to remember, as a GM, you got to have to play those chess pieces like that. You have to play the mind games with people, because when you do that, I mean, sure, it doesn't give out the greatest message when it comes to being a general manager, but I think when you do give out those type of messages, it kind of can play a little bit of cat and mouse and keeps people on their toes. So hopefully that's not what Preds fans want to really hear, but if you can kind of keep people on their you know, toes for the most part, kind of keeps them interested in a little bit. That's kind of how I feel.
Mark says, I love the Preds, but did Trot say younger? What part of Stamkos, Marchus, O'Shea, Holla, Bunting is getting younger?
It's true.
That's what I was kind of talking about. It's just, you know, I'm tired of hearing about, oh, we're going to get younger, and then they don't.
Well, he's trying to mesh it at the same time. That's the thing. He's trying to mesh young and old. And you even mentioned this way back before the season began, and the fact that if you're meshing these two caliber of players and a veteran and a youngster, maybe the youngster can supplement for what the veterans are not doing, and the veterans can do what the youngsters don't know yet. That's the thing that's not meshing right now.
And right.
Again, I don't want to say give it time, but that's the only thing I can really say, because I don't know anything on the inside at all, but as a avid hockey fan, that's what I would have to say, is just give it time. Because, like I said, the only thing I know is next week.
Right.
Next week, next week, next week.
Yep.
I hate to keep pushing it back, but my optimism is kind of outweighing my negative persona right now.
That's good. That's a good way to live your life. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get involved in the conversation. Coming up next, I know Jake Lyman's not here, but we have to carry forth the Friday tradition. We'll predict our Monday headlines, what is going to happen in the Titans game, and anything else in sports. We'll do that coming up next. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here with you on Next Man Up on 102.5 The Game. Is this Madison? Oh, yeah. Justin Herbert, you lucky dog. Welcome back in, Next Man Up, here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you. And as always, at 11:30 on a Friday. I know Jake's not here, but I will carry forth the tradition. We predict our Monday headlines. What's going to happen in the Titans game against the Seahawks? And anything else you want to talk about coming up? What happens this weekend? We begin with the Tennessee Titans in action against the Seahawks. Nick Frazier, give me any single event you believe will happen in this game.
Well, the Monday headline for the Tennessee Titans will be Nashville sick, strep cured. That is what the Nashville headline will be on Monday morning. It will be Nashville sick, strep cured.
And what does that entail?
That entails Xavier Strepo had a good game.
Mm.
If he does play, that is. Mm. So that's where I'm at
so
on that.
So Strep is going to be caught in Nissan Stadium on
that
Sunday.
That is correct.
I like it.
You know, there's the I got a fever, and the only prescription is more cowbell.
More cowbell.
Yeah.
For the I got a fever.
For the Titans, it's I'm under the weather. The only thing that I can get through this is just a
wow, you made it sound even more white. Good job.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. I'm under the weather.
Yep.
The only thing that would cure it is Xavier Restrepo football.
Yeah, I mean, you said it better than I did.
Well, I'm white, so. I'm
trying to think of some other headlines. Nothing comes to mind yet, but you go ahead. You got something for the Titans?
I do. I believe Jackson Smith and Jigba will have 150-plus receiving yards and a touchdown.
Wow.
And it's not going to be a good day. I mean, you stack him up against Jalen Armour Davis, it ain't going to be a good day.
Yeah.
If you're the Titans. For the Seahawks, great day, but not going to be a good day. Parker Kelly, what happens in the Titans' bout against the Seahawks?
Nick kind of took what I was going to say, but I can pivot. It's okay. Because I think we will find out if Xavier Restrepo is going to be playing on Sunday, tomorrow. I think that's when we'll find out if he is going to play at all. Here's what I'm going to say, and I'm really going out on a limb here. JSN goes off for 150-plus in
that's
the
what
game
I,
on Sunday.
That's what I just said.
Oh, really? I'm sorry. I wasn't listening. I was doing something else. Okay. Well, I'll side with you. I'll side with both of you. We're going to see Xavier Restrepo. JSN goes off for 150-plus.
So he combined the two.
Yep. Well, very original of me, original. I got to say.
Well done. Nick Frazier, you can take this anywhere you want.
I'm going to go with the college football headline. Let's go for Vanderbilt. Oh, man. Let's go. The pot of gold is still at the end of the rainbow for the Commodores.
Mm.
I guess that's the only thing that comes to mind for me.
Mm.
But, yeah, I think they win this weekend. They hand Kentucky another loss in their season. And, boy, oh, boy. One of those teams is going to lose. It might be BYU because they take on Cincinnati.
I thought you were talking about Vanderbilt. One of those teams is going to lose in this game.
Yeah, it's a 50-50 toss-up. You're right. Don't tell Carl Ravitch.
Oh, yeah. Well, he'll freak out.
Yeah. Anyways, I do think BYU probably loses this weekend to Cincinnati. It's just one of those games where you need one of these three teams that are in the last 12 to lose for Vanderbilt. Just get in at some capacity.
Yeah. Parker, your headline for Monday outside of the Titans.
All right, here we go. USC and Oregon play this week.
Oh, yeah.
And the 2:30 CBS primetime slate, one of the few good primetime, or I guess it's not primetime, but one of the good CBS games, the few good CBS games this year. 2:30, Autzen Stadium, Eugene, Oregon. Oregon is a 10.5-point favorite.
Mm.
That's a little much for me. As you both know, I'm very high on USC right now.
Sure.
I think USC is going to cover. Oregon wins.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Oregon wins, but I do think USC covers. I think that's a good pick.
That was a lot of hype for a team that's going to lose.
You think Oregon's going down?
No, he just said, I love USC. I think they're a great team.
Yeah.
But Oregon wins.
You know what happens to their college football playoff hopes after that?
A lot of hype for
it goes down the drain. If they lose,
garbage disposal.
Yeah.
But if they win, they're very much alive for the Big Ten championship, which we're not talking about because we all think that they're going to lose this game. But just saying,
they need
things
to
could get
game.
Interesting.
I look, as a homer, I would love to see Vanderbilt. I'm not a Vanderbilt fan, but a kid that's born and raised here in Nashville, just like the rest of you guys, would love to see Vanderbilt do something spectacular.
I am going to take it to a game being played Monday night. And no, it's not football. There is a Sonic blockbuster in the world of college basketball being played Monday. Oh, well, I guess it's not because it's not on ESPN, but Monday at 8:30 on TNT.
Oh, wow.
Gonzaga and Alabama are playing. I think Alabama's the best team in the SEC right now. Their guards are elite. They don't play defense. But if they're shooting the three, you're not going to beat them because they just managed to hit everything. I think they beat Gonzaga by 10 to 12 points.
Really?
I think they're that good. And I don't think Gonzaga's as good as everyone makes them out to be. They play in the West Coast Conference, which is, besides them and St. Mary's, there's no one there. So I think Alabama is going to handle some business against Gonzaga. So that's my Monday.
Did you see Graham Ike make like 4 threes the other day?
Oh, yeah.
Four. He was 4 for 4.
Yeah. That Illinois game was fun. That was a fun night of basketball. UConn and Arizona played Thursday night, and that one was fun. And then Illinois and Alabama played afterwards, and that one was also fun. So I'm living in the life of college basketball, aside from Mark Pope pissing me off. Let's get to some of your headlines on our phone text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Wes in Clarksville says, Monday morning we will be hearing Big Jeff saying, we got to play better. We can't be having that many penalties.
Very true.
He also texted something that I'm sorry, this was a different Wes. This was Wes in Hermitage. I get them mixed up. I feel bad. Dustin in Hopkinsville, going the route. Dustin says, Cats defeat Vanderbilt at home on senior day in the final seconds with a long field goal, taking Vandy and company's playoff hopes away like a redhead stepchild stepdad takes all the TV and gaming console remotes after backtalking. I mean, I don't hate it. I think it's going to be closer than a lot of people think. And here, I'll read Wes's.
I hope you're wrong. That's all I got to say.
I hope I'm right. I'll read Wes's thing that he wants me to read.
Go ahead.
He says, if this is a, quote, trap game, this is a pretty bad trap. Even the burglars from Home Alone 3 could avoid this trap.
He's not referring to the Wet Bandits, is he?
Yes, he is.
But he said Home Alone 3. Are they in Home Alone 3?
My Home Alone knowledge trails off after Home
Alone 2. I know they're
Home
in
Alone
1 and 2.
Aren't they all called the Wet Bandits?
Why?
I know it's a different cast.
When Macaulay Culkin was out, I was out too.
Because they were done. In New York, lost in New York, the number second two. One. Yep. And the first one, they were in Chicago.
0943 says, sharp money is on Cam Ward, no touchdown passes.
I like that.
That's a good bet.
That's great because this Titans team is on track for not a lot of points.
I like that. Cam Ward's on pace to have like 15 touchdowns passing. Which isn't completely terrible, but it's also not good.
For a number one overall pick,
it's not that great. So, I don't know. Let's see here. Colorado will smash the Preds and continue to put the heat on the franchise. That comes from 3155. That's a good bet. Colorado is playing the best hockey in the world right now. And it's pretty hard to deny it. They are just loaded. Dustin says, Trey calls in unexpectedly to talk about Cam Ward's accuracy as 102.5 and company discuss Vandy's win or loss. Think he can bank on that one. Brian on our text line says, Preds get destroyed again, and the joke of the GM says the coach is doing great, in parentheses, as you can tell, I'm sick of this team. I think we all are a little bit, Brian. Let's go to our phone lines. There's the man I was hoping to hear from today. Adam in Portland on the phone line. He's got a Monday headline. Adam, what's going on?
Well, number one, Home Alone 3 was where the kid gets the chicken pox and the international terrorists are chasing his remote control car. Do y'all not remember that?
Yeah.
It was not the Wet Bandits, was it, Adam?
No. It was a young Scarlett Jo with his big sister, and she's mean to him.
Right,
the whole thing.
Right.
But, no, it wasn't a very good movie. No, my headline for Monday is everybody in Nashville loses again, and then a bunch of sad faces. So, dude, I got a question for you guys, though, because I have not faced any of you guys with it, and I'm just curious of what you think. Is there any quarterback in this league that you could put on the Titans and make them a playoff contender?
That's a good question.
Yep, Matthew Stafford, 100%, because he played in Detroit all those years.
Dude.
Yes.
I don't think so.
I think he gets hurt. But my point is, and the reason I ask that is because Cam has been incredibly durable, but I think everybody's being unfair to him. Yes, he's got 2-inch hands and keeps fumbling the football. I think it's weird that he fumbles like he does. But nobody could take this loser team to the playoffs. Like, I mean, some people argue Matthew Stafford or Mahomes. I would disagree with them, but I get the argument. But that's the point. Like, who could win with these losers? So I think it's unfair to judge Cam right now. That's my point.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Adam. I 100% agree with him, actually. I don't think there's any quarterback in this league that you can put on this team with the roster talent around him, the receivers they have, the offensive line they have, what have you, that could turn this into a winning team. People will argue Mahomes because he's the best. You argue Stafford because he's,
Matt Stafford's having an MVP season.
But look at who he's throwing the ball to.
I get it. He's got Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams. I get that. But imagine if you have Matthew Stafford at the start of the season for the Tennessee Titans, and maybe Tyler Lockett's not as bad as people think.
Right.
Maybe, you know, everybody talks about Arthur Smith and Aaron Rodgers' relationship in Pittsburgh and how that kind of transpires as in, does Rodgers overrule some of the play calls that Arthur Smith calls in? Because I was listening to somebody the other day, I think it was online or something, talking about how the chemistry between Rodgers and DK is not fully there.
Yeah.
Same thing here in Nashville. I think if you put Matthew Stafford in that situation, I think he overrules some of the play calling and overrules it in a good way. Because right now the whole Mike McCoy and also Brian Callahan, I'll put this all together into one, the conservative play calling doesn't work. And I'm sure Matthew Stafford, who's been well-versed in this league for a long time, knows that's not going to fly with him. So he'd probably overrule that, probably have Alec Iomanner catch a few good more balls here and there. Like I said, Tyler Lockett would be completely different. He might be able to do something with Calvin Ridley before his injury. There is a lot of pluses to all that. And maybe Gunnar Helm turns into a early bloomer in some aspects instead of just coming on later on in the
season. I think with Stafford, A, you got to factor in who's throwing the ball to. B, you got to factor in who the coach is. Sean McVay is the best coach in the entire NFL.
True, that's true.
And I think, you know, you look at the talent that's here and the talent that's there. There's no comparison. Let me ask you this. What's the knock on Patrick Mahomes' offense right now?
Can't block for him.
Well, that too.
Yeah.
He doesn't have receivers.
I disagree with that.
Would you take Kansas City's receivers over the Titans right now?
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah, I would.
I don't think that there's a single quarterback in this league that could elevate this to a playoff team.
Dude, all right. Again, I'm somehow disagreeing with this, and thank you, Adam, for bringing up the topic, but
now we have something to close the show out with. Thank you.
You look at Matthew Stafford, and again, I bring his veteran mind into this. You talk to that offensive line right now, and a guy in J.C. Latham, Pete Skoronski, Lloyd Cushenberry, and Dan Moore Jr. on the left tackle. Like, look, he's been in the league long enough. If he says, hey, I take two or three steps up in the pocket when a certain route goes this way or something like that, that they're going to catch up on that. Right. And I think the veteran experience for Stafford to know, hey, if I do this certain quirk, they're going to pick up on it, that's kind of how the offensive line helps develop as well.
All right, let's pocket this for a second.
Sure.
And continue it on the other side.
Sure.
All right, 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Last call for your phones and texts, and maybe you can weigh in on our debate. Would a quarterback, any quarterback in the league, help elevate the Titans to playoff contention? I say no, Frazier says yes. We'll take your thoughts on the other side. Again, 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll get to that coming up next. Next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Throwback, white girl. I love it. Welcome back in. Next man up, Connor Newton, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you. Last segment here as we are about to turn you over to Charles and Large Joseph. So we're having a debate right now to kind of wrap things up. Adam in Portland called in with a very interesting point. If you could take any quarterback in the league and put him on the Titans, would they succeed? Frazier says Matthew Stafford would. I say no one would. So let's get to some of your texts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Spencer from Columbia says Stafford kind of proved he couldn't take a loser team anywhere for years with possibly the best receiver of all time. He, of course, is referring to the Detroit Lions with Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, but they made the playoffs, though, in some cases.
In 1 year. And then went 0-16.
2012 versus the Seahawks. Still, I remember that game well.
The question was, can Matthew or can a quarterback on any other NFL team take this team to the playoffs? Was that the question?
Yeah.
That's all you need is one. You just need one. That's all I need, and that's Matthew Stafford.
He does rage than, I mean, it's been done.
I mean, I just state my case. He was on one of the worst teams in NFL history, and he took them to the playoffs once. Sure, it was only once out of 12 different opportunities, but look, I'm in the camp of this guy is a veteran quarterback that can lead your team to the next level. And again, it goes back to the veteran leadership and the veteran, I guess, esque of knowing the game of football in the NFL, knowing the certain ins and outs of how the offensive lineman needs to block this way, that way, all the above, because then they get to understand his pocket presence. Once you understand your veteran quarterback's pocket presence, he knows when to get rid of the ball, he knows when to hand the ball off, unlike a guy like Cam Ward, who's a rookie quarterback that's still struggling to get his feet under him. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting argument. Unfortunately, we don't have time to wrap it up, but I strongly disagree. I don't think anyone could do it. I think it's impossible.
I think Chase and Joe probably could.
Chase and Joe. I think if you guys tried out for the Titans quarterback position outside the parking lot of Hermitage Applebee's, you'd probably make it.
We'll have to see next week.
That'll do it for us today. Appreciate the opportunity to come and host the show while Jake is out. We'll be with you tomorrow from 9 to 11. I'll be back with you from 9 to 12 on Monday. Parker Kelly and I will. He doesn't know that yet, but now he does. Chase and Joe coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, that is, coming up next. But for Nick Frazier, for Parker Kelly, my name is Connor Newt, saying so long. We'll see you tomorrow on the Weekend Huddle from 9 to 11. Stay tuned. Chase and Big Joe coming up next on 102.5 The Game.